coming.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Dorothy Nelson, DVM, in case number 22-121. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 322234. Dr. Nelson, please come forward and introduce yourself and your attorney.
Dr. Nelson.
Okay.
And David Stoll, attorney's legal counsel for Dr. Nelson.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Nelson, you have received a letter today informing you of the matters to be discussed and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censoring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
Okay. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speak at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Ms. Frost, you are the lead. Could you please give us a brief summary of this case?
Yes, so on April 19th, 2018, Paris, a 12-year-old male domestic short hair cat, and Hershey, a 13-year-old male domestic short hair cat, were presented to respondent for an evaluation for a variety of chronic illnesses. Based on the pet owner's conduct in the exam room and her admissions of how she was caring for the cats, respondent reached out to the Humane Society for direction. Due to the time of day, the Humane Society recommended calling law enforcement to report an animal cruelty case. Police were dispatched and the cats were seized. They remained with respondents overnight and were transferred to the Humane Society the following day. On April 25th, 2018, the cats were returned to complainants, the pet owner's parents.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Frost. Dr. Nelson, at this time I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Nelson, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. I've got an opening statement.
Sure.
Go ahead. So on September 13th, 2022, the investigative committee conducted their interviews of the complainants, me, and after reviewing all of this evidence, issued their unanimous recommendation that this complaint be dismissed with no violations. I was surprised that after the review of that dismissal recommendation, you moved this to an informal interview. I was surprised because I sincerely acted in good faith over 4.5 years ago on April 19th, 2018, when I acted on my statutory duty to report not just a suspected case of animal abuse or cruelty, but a confirmed case that was witnessed by me, my technician, and an intern veterinary student from Midwestern University. First of all, you should know that when I met the complainant's daughter on that day in April of 2018, I had never met her or seen her cats before. She was not an existing client. While it became clear to us that the owner was mentally challenged, she was very pleasant to talk to and everything was okay until she started describing to us how she provided veterinary care for her cats at home, including administering incorrect dosages of insulin and other medications, including controlled substances. Then, when we were discussing potential dental extractions that were to be done under anesthesia, she grabbed one of the cats, Paris, and said, "Here, I'll show you how I take out the teeth at home." She then attempted to pull out the upper canine of the cat with her bare hands. In response, the intern veterinary student, Ms. Sarah Weber, my technician, Angie, and I all calmly asked the owner to stop and told her that she was causing pain to her cat and was hurting her cat. The owner refused to stop and continued to be rough with both cats during the exam. That's what prompted me to call the Humane Society Animal Cruelty Line for some guidance as to what to do in this situation. When I told the Humane Society what we had witnessed and what we had heard from the owner, they told me to call the non-emergency line for the Scottsdale Police Department, which is what I did. I followed the recommendation of the Arizona Humane Society, and I do not feel I should be punished for doing that and acting in compliance with the statute of the Arizona Veterinary Practice Act that provided that a veterinarian shall report cases of suspected animal cruelty or neglect within 48 hours. I have also reviewed the audio transcript from your last meeting, October 26, 2022, and wish to state unequivocally that I did not wrongfully detain the owner under false pretenses. As you can see in the medical record, I called the Humane Society and the police while I was preparing the treatment plan for the cats. We hadn't even started treating the cats at the time the call to the police was taken, and I fully expected that by the time the police responded to the call, the owner and her cats would be gone. I anticipated that it would take the police at least an hour or more to respond to a non-emergency call, and was frankly shocked when they arrived so quickly within about 30 minutes of my call when we hadn't even finished treating the cats. During that time, Ms. Boyd was free to leave at any time. I did not detain the owner in any way, let alone under false pretenses, and I failed to see how anyone could make that false assumption. Finally, I also take issue with the statement that was made that I wrongfully seized the cats from the owner. I did not want possession of her cats. The police interviewed the owner, and they alone made that decision to seize the cats, and they made that decision that they would not be returned to her, as they told her on the body cam footage that you guys have. I thought that the police were going to take the cats with them, but instead they asked us to keep the cats overnight before they would be transferred to the Humane Society, which is what happened. I did what the police asked of me. Also, you have the Humane Society records indicating that they were impounded from April 20th to the 25th as part of their protective wellness check program. Furthermore, if you look at the statement from the Scottsdale Assistant City Prosecutor, Valerie Thompson, you can see that the cats were only returned to the parents after they agreed to provide veterinary and medical records for follow-up care and seek mental health treatment for their daughter. This is what happened in this unfortunate situation, and in retrospect, and the benefit over four and a half years, I don't know how I should have handled this any differently, and I don't think that I would have, given my statutory duty to report any and all cases of suspected animal abuse and cruelty. Thank you. I'm now open for your questions.
Okay. Thank you. I would now like to ask the board members if they have any questions of Dr. Nelson. Mickey, if you'd like to start. Yeah.
Your statement was that, you know, she was free to go at any time. However, the cats were not in her possession to be able to leave at any time.
So when we perform an exam, we go in, all three of us together, we perform the exam, we leave and make a treatment plan, they go in and go over the treatment plan, and then we take the cats and perform the treatments that the owner requested, and then we return the cats to the owners, and then the owners go pay and leave. So we were in that section where we were performing the treatments when the police arrived.
Okay. But she wasn't able to leave at any time.
If she had asked and had said, "I want to leave with my cats," we would have given her her cats.
Was she informed that law enforcement was called?
No, they asked me not to.
Okay. So I just want to clarify, your medical records say that the services were provided on April 19th. But your statement says April 14th or 18th. But that in your records was the day she called to make an appointment for her cats. Does that sound correct?
Yeah, she called to make an appointment the day before, and the medical records start on that date because that's what my receptionist said.
Okay. And then your team member that took the call on the 18th, her statement was that the cats were receiving other care. She wasn't happy with that care. She was concerned, and that's why she wanted the visit. Did you see that?
Paris was receiving care, but had been a while. The other cat, Hershey, had not received care since it was a kitten.
Okay, and did you see the medical records from the previous veterinarian? Because they were requested on the 18th.
I don't believe that we had full access to them. I think that we got them just prior to the appointment.
So you did or didn't review them at the appointment?
I don't believe that we had the opportunity to review them at the appointment. I think that they got there way too late before the appointment occurred.
But you had them at the appointment, according to this.
Yeah, honestly, I can't remember.
So the concern was that the cats weren't receiving care, but you did have at least for one pet medical records?
Yes. The concern was how the pets were handled, et cetera.
Okay. And in the exam room, were there opportunities to educate the client as to handling?
Yeah, absolutely, and we tried.
Okay.
If you can tell based on the notes, I spent 30 minutes in there.
I don't have any other questions.
Okay. Do other board members have questions for?
Trying to formulate it in my mind. Good coming.
I'm just waiting for you.
Go ahead.
At the time of the incident, had you felt you had an obligation? Did you know that you had 48 hours to make that report?
I believed that reporting as soon as possible would be prudent given the situation.
Would be prudent due to what reason? Immediate danger or what? What reason would be?
Because she was hurting the animals in the exam room and not recognizing the fact that she was hurting them. When we brought that to her attention, it didn't seem to click that that was causing pain.
And she continued that behavior?
Yes.
She continued to try to pull the teeth?
Yes.
More than one time?
Yes.
Did you make any effort in the time period before you made the call to talk to the parents?
No, I don't routinely call my client's parents.
In a case where, in this case or any case?
No, I don't talk to my client's parents. She presented as a competent adult and owner of the animals. There is no reason for me to even believe that her parents were part of ownership.
So she was competent, but cruel?
Yes.
She said she appeared competent.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Earlier in your testimony, that you said she appeared mentally challenged.
Yeah, something was off. I'm not, obviously, a mental health professional. I don't have a human medical degree. But it was one of those cases where I could tell something was just off. But other than that, that was about as far as I could say on that.
Any effort to talk to a previous vet?
No, unfortunately it was already like 5 p.m. by that time.
And so you knew that the other vets were closed?
Yeah.
You knew that?
I mean, in general, most vets close at 5 p.m. But yeah, okay. I mean, we could have.
I don't have any other questions.
So when you were in the exam room with her, I know you said you tried to explain that she was causing pain, but did you discuss with her that you were concerned about the care of the cats and that you were considering reporting this?
So at the time, I hadn't actually considered reporting this, but I did discuss with her. We went into detail about dental extractions, how they need to be performed under anesthesia with nerve blocks, how extracting teeth with patients awake is painful and causes a lot of pain, as evidenced by how the cat was reacting when she was trying to do that. We also discussed diabetes at length and how important it is to regulate and make sure that we're on the proper dose of insulin, giving the insulin at the proper times, and how we needed to perform blood work to see where exactly we were in the health status of the patients. It wasn't until after we came out of the room that we were kind of, I was shocked at what had just transpired, what she had said. The statements she had made and the actions she had performed, that I figured I needed a little bit of additional guidance from somebody that has more experience, like the Humane Society.
So she was, as you say, hurting these animals, these cats. Did they bite, scratch, or get away from her during this time?
Yes, especially when she was trying to pull the teeth.
So they bit her, scratched her, they got away from her.
And they were crying, yes. It was disturbing.
And at that point in time, you didn't take the cats to the back?
No.
You left the room?
I made a treatment plan. I don't have the right to seize animals from owners.
Well, you do have a right to take them to the back if you're providing treatment, so I didn't know what, if you had already gotten that approval or not. Did you discuss, I mean, noting that clearly we have somebody that you have defined in your non-human doctor mindset that is mentally challenged or has something wrong with them, whatever that may be, did you ask at any point in time if there were other caregivers for the cat?
No. In general, when they arrive, make the appointment themselves, and drive to the veterinary clinic, we generally take their word for it that they're the owner and they're the ones making the decisions for the patients.
And that makes complete sense when you're not in this situation. But when you're in a situation where you're getting ready to report abuse, sometimes you have to handle things a little differently. And maybe going, I'm not so sure that this person's the one to be answering these questions. Maybe we should get feedback from somebody else. Are there other caregivers we could ask? Because I think you've already, in your mind, you've already said there was something wrong. She wasn't caring for these cats appropriately. She was clearly doing things that are not normal, right? We don't pull teeth awake. It's danger to her. So you'd caught on to all of this, but you didn't take the step to say, hey, you know, general welfare, who else helps you with these cats?
She stated she was the owner.
So in the medical records, one of your team members, I believe it was an assistant or technician, did mention that she mentioned to you all that her dad is a doctor, that, you know, her mom is an attorney. And then also the complaint did call on the 19th. Asking to speak with you, and that he stated the cats were his as well, but there was, he wasn't allowed to speak with you. He offered to wait on hold, he provided his number. Can you share what the thought process was on not researching the fact that he also stated he was an owner, but there was no attempt to confirm with the client?
So that was after the appointment, I believe.
Well, you said it was late at night, but your phones are still being answered. And so I'm just curious why there was no conversation.
Yeah, that was even after the police had left, but my office manager did not allow me to call them.
And your office manager dictates conversations that you have, or?
When it's his practice, yes.
But is it his license on the line?
No.
Okay. Just making sure you're aware.
Did the police tell you not to contact or talk to anybody else?
Yes.
What did the police tell you?
The police said, do not talk to anyone else.
There you go. I mean, this is a legal situation. Police are involved, guys. That's a whole different ballgame.
Well, and that's one person.
She was instructed not to contact anybody.
Are we still asking questions of the respondent?
Yeah. No, I know.
Would you like to go to discussion?
Trying to clarify that.
Okay. And ask a question.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's, like I said, you weren't listening to the answer. So, I mean, if she
heard the answer.
Said that, but okay, we're not in discussion right now,
answer.
But I just wanted to clarify
ask
that.
A question if you need to ask a question.
Well, I did. I asked if the police told her not to contact anybody.
Right. And then you continued to talk.
So, yeah.
Any more questions? Otherwise, you have the complainants here as well. Yeah. Mr. Lohi, did you have one or did you ask?
I don't think it's a matter of question. I think we've heard the response and my arguments are going to be made in our discussion.
Okay.
So I do have one other question.
Okay, sure.
In Paris's medical record, there are blood work results entered July 10th, 2018, dated July 10th, 2018. Can you tell me about that? Not quite 3 months after the cats were.
We did run some blood work to check his blood sugar numbers. I think that that might have been an error on the lab machine's part for the date.
Because it doesn't, the blood sugars don't match the entries in the blood sugar.
So,
that's not his blood work. Yeah, that's not his blood work.
Is it another pet related to this client?
I believe that is, I would have to ask the practice, honestly, on how things are input into the medical records, but that's not even remotely related to this cat.
Okay. And then the insulin that was provided matches the prescribed dosing by the previous veterinarian. How did you come up with the appropriate amount of insulin, given that you didn't have time to review the previous medical records provided?
By checking his blood sugar.
And it came up with the same amount as the previous veterinarian?
No, his blood sugar came up high based on his weight. I administered a dose based on bumps.
Right, which was the same, happened to be the same amount as the previous prescribing veterinarian's dose?
The next morning, yes. The night before, no.
No, what? Sorry.
The night before, he did not require any insulin. The morning of, he did require insulin.
Are you sure? Because it shows two doses of Lantus were given. It says 419. That you gave two units of Lantus per Dr. Nelson, and then in the morning he was also given the same amount on the 20th.
Just give me a second to double check that on the medical record, because I really remember.
Are we talking about? Is this Paris? Or?
It's, yeah, it's Paris. Yeah, it does look like, you're correct, on 419, it does look like blood sugar was 414. We administered two units, and then the next morning they had administered two units at a home that we had been administering it once a day.
And when did you look at the previous veterinarian's records?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, it was 4.5 years ago. I know that I reviewed them, but I can't say exactly when I reviewed them.
Okay, because before you stated that you didn't look at them before the visit.
Don't believe that I did, but I can't say 100%. Okay. Sometimes when they get there at the same time, I have to review the medical records as I'm doing the appointment.
Okay, if there are no further questions.
Thank you.
How long did you have the cats in your possession between the Scottsdale police escorted her out and the Humane Society picking them up?
That I'm not 100% sure on, because after I left that night, I was actually on vacation, and I was not present for when the Humane Society came. I believe that they came the next day.
Do you know if instructions went with the cats that, hey, they have these medical issues and they need to be cared, this needs to be taken care of while the Humane Society has them in custody?
Yes, and I called the Humane Society just to make sure that they knew.
Okay.
You were on vacation, and you called me. From your vacation?
I called several times, yeah. I just wanted to check on.
Okay, no further questions. You may step back. I'd now like to ask the complainants in the case. We have Daniel Boyd and Dr. Boyd, if you'd both like to come forward.
Can I know what the last couple of sentences were regarding how we commence the sign? Please?
Dr. Nelson, I called them several times. I just wanted to check on them.
On what day?
That I'm not 100% sure on because after I left that night, I was actually on vacation and I was not present for when the Humane Society came. I believe that they came the next day.
But I thought there was a statement about calling after that.
No. If you maybe you can address the committee.
Oh, yeah.
The board.
So
I'm just trying to, so I didn't forget.
So hold on one second. Can I have you both introduce yourself for the record, and then I'm going to swear you in as well.
Tanya Boyd. Okay. I am the mother of Natalie.
Okay.
William Boyd.
Okay, great. Thank you both for being here. At this time, I'd like to swear you in. Do you both affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you both. We've read the materials you've provided, and you may now address the board.
There's something that contradicts something that was said, and I know you asked if I had any paperwork here, because I really don't know what you have. But I have something from the court which states, the animal seizure, the state stipulates to release the cats to owners William and Natalie Boyd. And I think that's an important difference to what was stated earlier. And then this is signed by Honorable Robert Howard Jr., the judge or whatever you want to call it.
So, okay. Thank you for.
I don't know what you have, and
we have.
And I would,
yeah, we
you
should
have this because it's not the same thing as what was said. It said it was released.
We have the document from the court.
Okay, because you know, I and you also have a transcript from the call to the police.
Right.
You have that transcript as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to really kind of talk about this mentally challenged thing, because this is an opinion, but based on what? It says, I mean, she had severe nystagmus, so sometimes she would look a little bit to the side, because to look, to have the best vision, her head would turn to get a null point, is what it's called. She had nystagmus in three different dimensions. She had multiple surgeries to correct it, but it was still visible. It was still visible on the video. And I just want to point that out, because some people look at her and they say, you know, something's amiss. You want to say anything on that?
Could you, I'm sorry, is it appropriate? I'm not a medical doctor. Could you explain
I
what
am.
That is?
Yeah.
So can you tell me what that is?
What is?
Nystagmus.
Nystagmus is movement of the eye.
Okay.
And police look for that as a, when they stop, they used to stop her, you know, if she ran a stop sign or something, you know, just like you or me or anybody else, and then they'd see this and then they'd assume that she was on something. And the reason is because that they look for that. They look, nystagmus is one of the things that police officers look for to see if there's drug use, alcohol use, something. And so basically the eyes are moving like this, and in her case also like this.
Okay.
So she had in three different dimensions. There's six muscles on the eye, and one, two, three, four, and then the oblique muscles. Six muscles, and they all work doing different things. One gives you lateral gaze, one gives you medial gaze, and one gives you, it's a rotary thing. And basically, it gives you, you know, vision in all planes. That's what it's for. And so, but it does have an effect on people when they see it. They say, you know, something's amiss. And police, anyhow, at some point in her life, after she started driving and got stopped a couple times, and then they're saying, you know, they'd make her do a, you know, a stability thing, and she couldn't do it. She couldn't stand on one foot because of this, and she couldn't walk a straight line because of this. So finally, at some point, I said, you know, I've been telling you to carry a letter, a doctor's letter, so that the next time you get stopped, and hopefully that doesn't, you don't ever get stopped again, but if you get stopped again, you know, it's something that you can just hand to them. And then, so that's what she did. So the next time she got stopped by a police officer for a, you know, traffic stop, she just handed him the letter, and it took care of it. And so, the mentally challenged, I'm concerned about that, because I really don't get that. But, I mean, especially for a layperson to say that, it's a terrible thing.